The impact of the Supreme Court's Dobbs decision is shaking the balance of power in the United States. This summer, when Kansas voters rallied behind reproductive choice in a referendum, they sent a resounding signal of political defiance. Our writer Peter Slevin, after covering the Kansas referendum, shifted his reporting to the state of Michigan, where there's an initiative on the ballot that would put the right to abortion in the state constitution. And that's shaping this November's race for governor and control of the U.S. Congress. Here's Peter Slevin.
As I was trying to decide where to go in Michigan to focus on the battle over reproductive rights, the 3rd District in western Michigan, centered in Grand Rapids, really caught my eye. It's a district that has long been held by Republicans. This year, Hillary Skolton, a Democrat who lost a race for Congress 2 years ago to a Republican, got back into the race. One thing has changed since Skolton lost 2 years ago. An independent election commission has redistricted. In recent years, voters have elected conservative Republicans. This year, Skolton is given a real shot.
Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for coming out on this Thursday afternoon.
On one warm September afternoon, Skolton's advance team set up shop outside of a brew pub in the backyard. She took the microphone and talked about what was at stake.
I'm running because choice is on the ballot, regardless of what happens with this ballot initiative. It doesn't stop here, right? The extremists in Congress have already shown that they want to take away access to contraceptives.
It was a weekday afternoon, and several dozen people showed up both to listen and to move on out as her organizing force.
For years, we have been held hostage by Republican gerrymandering. But the good people of Michigan have been fighting back. And thanks to our incredible efforts by voters, not politicians, we have a once-in-a-generation election this cycle and the opportunity of a lifetime to elect majorities up and down the ballot. And when it comes to Michigan's 3rd congressional, to send the first Democratic woman in West Michigan history to Congress, I'm ready.
Skolton is running against a man named John Gibbs, a Republican who moved into the district to compete in this race. I reached out to the Gibbs campaign, hoping that he might talk with me. He declined, as did the Michigan Republican Party. He was strongly backed by former President Donald Trump. And this is what he tweeted on the morning of the Dobbs decision. God wins. I wanted to see how other candidates were talking about abortion. So I drove across the state the next day to see Gretchen Whitmer.
I just appreciate you making time. You know, it's such a precarious moment.
She gathered a group of women around a table at a Cajun restaurant. Whitmer herself started by telling her own story.
With you, obviously I'm here as the governor. I'm also here as a woman. I'm here as a mother. I'm also here as a survivor. When I was in college, like one out of four women, I was raped. And in the days in the aftermath, it was devastating. And it didn't hit me right away, but maybe hours or a day into it, I thought, oh my God, what if I'm pregnant? And I knew that if that were the case, that I would have the ability to make my own choice for what was right for me.
One of Whitmer's guests, a physician's assistant named Nikki, says she sees a startling number of young women who are asking for birth control.
They're terrified. And I have women who aren't sexually active asking to go on birth control because of this. I've had so many patients that are choosing IUDs right now. So intrauterine devices that are long-term devices that can, be there between 3 and 10 years. And they're choosing that because they don't know where the future of this conversation is going.
For 45 minutes, it was story after story of women who were worried about what it would mean to lose access to abortion. There were military veterans. There were women who work in healthcare. There was one mother who was there with her daughter. And Whitmer was listening and talking about how essential it is. She called it a precarious moment for the country.
It's such a precarious moment, and this is such a...
After the roundtable, I was able to catch up with the governor for a few minutes.
I think it would be a real mistake to assume everyone understands how dire and serious this moment is. And that's why I think it's crucial that we are communicating and doing roundtables and continuing to put the focus on this, because it's very real and it's very raw. And in Michigan, if we're not successful, you'd have to go international to get access to abortion care by going to Canada or get all the way to Illinois, which will mean a lot of women will not have access and lives will be lost. And so we can't stop educating.
So what are the anti-abortion forces saying about all of this? I checked in with Michigan Right to Life, which is based, as it happens, in Grand Rapids, in Skolton's district, and asked Chris Gast, who's the education coordinator, how they see November and what the Dobbs case has meant to their efforts.
The message for candidates is, look, you know, most of the American public is kind of in the middle on abortion, very confused. They're not sure what they believe. You need to say that you have a consistent position on the value of unborn life, and we need to ask them, now that we have Roe versus Wade gone, the status quo has been abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy for any reason, which is what your opponent in most cases would be supportive of, you know, everything from partial birth abortion, tax-funded abortions, no parental consent for abortions. So by all means, have a frank conversation about what are people's opinion on abortions.
We've certainly read stories. There's one example in Michigan, but there are others elsewhere where Republican candidates who are broadly opposed to abortion are downplaying it because they don't want to get into the debate about whether it should be a full ban or not.
It's common that sometimes in elections, and it's always been the case, that you have to try to get pro-life candidates to really talk about the issue, so that's kind of nothing new. I don't think we've seen a real mass movement away from that. But I think certainly they need to think harder about how they need to talk about it now that it's going to be an issue that people are going to be directly voting on, and they're going to be voting on it in a very meaningful way.
Later that afternoon, I went out door knocking with Hillary Skolton to see what reception she's been getting from voters. She's the Democrat running for Congress in the district anchored in Grand Rapids. On one busy street, she came across a man sitting on his front porch. He introduced himself as John, and right off the bat, he said he had seen Skolton's ad, but he frankly wasn't sure which way he was going to vote.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You have? Yeah. All right. Are you planning to vote in November?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. What are some of the issues that matter to you? Like some things that really...
Abortion, I think she's wrong.
Yeah?
And
yeah.
Lo and behold, the first thing he mentioned was abortion.
What is it about abortion that you feel strong?
It should be a woman's freedom to do that themselves.
Yeah, make them...
Make that choice themselves.
Yeah, yep. That's what I believe too. You know, I'm a Christian, I am a mom myself, and I think that it's up to every woman's God-given ability to make that decision for themselves.
They had a lengthy back and forth as cars were going by on this busy street, and at the end, Skolton said, can I count on your vote?
Can I count on your vote in November? Oh, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah. All right.
The other day, you were nice enough to let me tag along as you knocked on doors. It was an upscale neighborhood. It was a neighborhood where Gerald Ford, the former president, had once lived.
Yes.
And I was struck by this couple who answered the door when you knocked, who said, well, we actually used to be Republicans. Mm-hmm. We are no longer Republicans. Did that stand out to you?
Oh, I mean, honestly, not really, because I hear it all the time. It is, you know, I would say it's one of the dominant narratives that we hear here. And, you know, people have, you know, either they used to be Republicans 5 years ago, 10 years ago. We're talking to people who used to be Republicans 2 weeks ago. And, you know, they say the choice on the other side is just not for us, and we want to support you because, you know, you're the right candidate for our district.
What was striking to me was how often Skolton spoke of abortion in terms of her own religion. This is an issue that Republicans especially, and particularly evangelical Christians on the right, have made their own. How does your faith connect with your views on reproductive rights and abortion?
Yeah, well, you know, I feel called to love my neighbor as myself. That includes loving and caring for women and trusting them to make their own reproductive choices for themselves. That is not a role for the government. And, you know, I also deeply believe that my particular views on this and what I would choose for myself are not not appropriate to make laws that reflect one particular view on abortion.
If Skolten wins and she is leading in the polls, it's going to be pretty darn meaningful. It means that the political equation surrounding reproductive rights and specifically abortion has changed and changed dramatically since June when the Supreme Court issued its Dobbs decision. It will mean that voters who believe in abortion rights are turning out and are making their voices felt in a way that we simply haven't seen in many, many years.
Peter Slevin is based in Chicago. John Gibbs, the Republican running against Hillary Skolten in Michigan, declined to be interviewed. But in a statement, he called Skolten's position on abortion extremist.